Katie Ledecky might not be a name you're familiar with, but she rose to stardom in just a moment back in 2012. At the age of 15, she broke the American record in the 800-meter freestyle in the 2012 Olympic gold medal race. She was just a fraction of a second from the world record. I am not a big swimming enthusiast, but I happened to have the TV on that day and was kind of glancing at it occasionally, and I saw that race all the way through. And it was amazing to listen to the announcers who kept saying, she's pacing herself too quickly, she's going to run out, she's not going to be able to complete this. But she just kept going and going and going. It was an 8-plus-minute race, basically going as fast as they could, 16 times back and forth through the pool. Since then, she has broken the world record. Actually, in 2014, she did it in the Woodlands. And then a year later, she broke her own record. She also has the world record in two other freestyle events, and she has the fastest ever swims in three other events. Pretty remarkable for someone who is 18 years old and did a lot of that when she was 15 and 16 and 17. I can't imagine the hours of work that it must have taken for her to get where she did. Probably countless hours, probably can't even log all the time and the effort that she put in for the goal that she had, which was very clearly early on, was to reach the Olympics. And I want us to think on a few different levels this morning as I introduce to you what I want to talk about this morning with that idea. I want to talk about obtaining the prize and Paul's use of athletic imagery in 1 Corinthians 9. But I want us to think about people like Katie Ledecky, or you might think of someone like Michael Jordan or Tiger Woods or others who are champions. They're just different. And we just like that sort of thing, don't we? That's why we watch sporting events. That's why we watch the Olympics, because we like people who win. We like champions. I think sometimes, at least I can admit for myself, as I think about that and I imagine what that's like, I don't imagine I'm going to be an Olympic swimmer or a championship basketball player or a tour-winning golfer. But in my own mind, I'm imagining what it's like to be a champion, to be a winner, and what that character and what that quality is like and what it takes to become that. And one thing I want us to recognize, one reason I used Katie Ledecky, is for our young people to recognize that by the time she was 12, 13, probably even earlier, she was already doing amazing things. And by the time she's 15, she's already competing with adults and she's setting records. How many 15-year-olds do we have here this morning? Or maybe what's more important is, parents, how many of you have a 15-year-old? And what kinds of things do you expect from them in their life? Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 9 the nature of what it takes to be a winner and the importance of what it takes to be a winner. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way, not as without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. We look at sporting events and we look at athletes. Or maybe we think of people in the business world or people who have become very successful and wealthy. And we realize that these people, they're extraordinary. They're amazing at what they do. But what I want us to understand this morning is that you are extraordinary. and you are different. In fact, Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. You are God's own possession. And in Jesus' own words, he said that the way to life is a narrow road. And so the people represented here this morning are a very unique group of people. You are winners because you've come to Jesus and you believe in Jesus and you follow Jesus. And Jesus is the ultimate winner. He is the ultimate victor. He conquered death. We just sang about the reality that he carried my sorrows. But the end of that is he is king. And what that means is that even though he died, he was resurrected from the dead. He overcame death, and now he is alive again, and he's sitting at God's right hand, and he is king, and you are followers of the king, which means you are victors. You are champions. And Paul says as much in Romans 8. He says, we are overwhelmingly conquerors through him who loves us. I think sometimes that gets obscured in our minds. We don't realize the reality that we are winners, that we are victors, that we're following Jesus, that we are doing his will, and by doing so, we are winners. We are going to have the wreath. We're going to have the crown of life. That's what Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians 9. And so I want us to talk about this idea of running this spiritual race. It is a very different kind of race. It's not the same sort of thing that we're talking about here with someone like Katie Ledecky. But one thing I want us to think about as we're thinking about this idea of running races or athletic events and then comparing that to spiritual things in the spiritual race, I want you to think about this. How much did she grow over 13 years or 14 years or 15 years? Now, I'm not really concerned so much with her growth. That's great, and we can use that as an example. She cut off 39 seconds in the 2 years preceding her Olympic race. In the 6 months leading up to that race, she cut off 15 seconds off of her time. Following the race, between then and now, she's cut off another 9 seconds. She's blown away the world record, and she's only 18 years old. That's impressive. It's impressive to me to think about the growth that someone can have, but the work they have to put into that is also impressive. And then when I stop and think about that, and I think about this 15-year-old in 2012 or this 18-year-old now, and all the dedication and the work and the time and the effort that has gone into to making herself a champion and a winner in what she does, it makes me think about how much have I grown in the last 13 years? How much have we grown since we were an infant in Christ, since we were baptized into Christ and we began opening the pages of Scripture and learning and dedicating ourselves to the Lord or saying that we are dedicated to the Lord? How much have we grown and matured over that time frame? I'll tell you, when I look around at people within our congregation, I see some amazing things happening. We have young people who are getting up doing invitations, who are giving messages from Scripture. We have men who are leading song services. We have some of our young ladies who are helping families. They're doing amazing things in the kingdom and probably beyond anything they ever even know or imagine. And then, of course, we have older people among our congregation who are doing the same things and have been doing this for years. And so I'm not up here this morning to try to back people and to beat these ideas over their head. I want to be an encouragement to you as we're beginning to face a new year. I want us to set some goals and to think of the growth that we need, but also to appreciate the fact that you are unique and that you are winners through Christ. You are champions, and that you are on this narrow road because you have chosen the right path and you've dedicated yourself to the right things. But the reality is champions and winners are never satisfied. They're never happy with where they are. And I mean that in the sense that they always want to better themselves. They always want to improve. And so the reality that we are here and that we are unique and that we're on the narrow road means that we don't stop. That where we find ourselves in this is in a pursuit for holiness. We're not after world records, or we're not after championships, but what we are after is the statement of God, be holy, for I am holy. And no matter where I am in that process right now, I know I can grow over the next year, the next 2 years, or 5 years, or 10 years. And one of the things I need to be asking myself regularly is, am I growing? Am I different now than I was in the previous year? So I want us to think about that for a few minutes this morning. The spiritual race is a lot different than the races in the physical world. You know, everyone is entered into the spiritual race, whether you want to be or not. I don't care if you've dedicated your life to Christ, you've been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, or you haven't. Maybe you haven't done that. Maybe you haven't come to belief yet. It doesn't really matter. The reality is the race is on. And we are in the midst of living life. And there's no avoiding the reality that you are in the middle of life's race. You cannot stop that. There's going to be a finish line someday, and we're going to have to give accountability to God for the things that we have done. But the good news is there are multiple winners, Paul says. He illustrates this with the physical race, the Isthmus Games probably, something like the Olympics. And he recognizes the reality that they all run, that everyone's in the race, but only one receives the prize. And these competitions that he's familiar with and that we're familiar with in the world around us, obviously there's only one winner. But the reality is, this is only a metaphor that he is utilizing to try to get them to understand the type of mindset and the type of attitude that they ought to employ in their life as they're living for Jesus Christ. And so he says, run in such a way that you may win. There's not going to be just one winner, thankfully. If we take the words of Paul here and we really put them into our life, we really use what he's saying in this text and, of course, the Bible in general, and we put these into our life and we embody the qualities and the character of Scripture, then we can all win the race. We can all receive the crown of life. It's not something that's just going to be restricted to one person. There can be multiple winners, and each one of us can be a part of that. Another thing that's different, though, is that there's no practice. There's no practice in real life. We're already in the race. We're in the midst of the race. And so it's kind of like on-job training. We're learning along the way. And we fall at times. And we have to get back up and we have to keep going because that's what winners do. That's what people do who are following Jesus, the ultimate winner. We don't have any time to try to figure it out before we start the race. The race is already happening. We're already running. We're already competing. So we have to be the kind of people who run in a way to win. And this finish line has eternal implications. The people Paul's talking about in his illustration, or the people that we think about, they get gold medals or they get wreaths in his day. And those are temporary, as he points out. They're perishable. But we're running for an imperishable crown. Something that's much more important and much more significant than the physical or material types of victories that we can have in this life. And that's why Paul says we need to run in such a way to win. Well, what does that look like? What does it mean for us to run in such a way as to win? It's a pretty general statement, and I think we can throw a lot of things into that. But I think he also gives us some clues within the text itself. He talks about the reality of being disqualified. If he preaches to others, but he's disqualified. In another text, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, he's using a similar type of illustration. He says, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. And so if we want to be winners, if we want to be the kind of people who are champions, the ones who are truly following Jesus, what that requires is knowledge. If we're going to live like a winner, we're going to run like a winner, we have to be people who live with knowledge, with understanding of how to play the game, of how to run the race. And that means a good knowledge of this book. We need to be familiar with what Jesus has told us we need to be doing for him. and how we're to be treating other people. And these sorts of things are not new to most of you. But the reality is when we get away from the rule book, we step off the path. When we don't follow the directions, we can get off the trail. And that's not how you win. Paul's worried about that, at least here in the last verse. He says, I discipline my body and I make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. He doesn't want to be disqualified from the race. He's carrying the metaphor through all the way. You know, you do the wrong thing or you make some kind of mistake or you don't follow the rules just right in some kind of competition, you can be disqualified, and it happens all the time. I remember not too long ago, there was a golfer who was a very good golfer. He woke up late, didn't make his tee time to a really important event. He's disqualified. Didn't keep the rules. So if we're going to be people who live like winners, we have to have knowledge. But we also have to be people who have dedication, devotion, piety. That's the idea of godliness. It is a piousness. It is dedication to the will of God. It is a desire to do His will. It goes beyond just knowing words and knowing doctrines. It is wanting to keep those words. It's a desire. It's a love for God. It's wanting to do His will. It's a dedication to put ourselves fully into it. And along with that, not letting ourselves be distracted from things to keep us from our goal. In some senses, that's what the parable of the sower is getting at when Jesus is talking about the seed being sown on different soil, and it's received in different ways. And of course, the third soil is the one who receives the word, and it's choked out eventually because of the cares of the world and the desire for forbidden things. And these are distractions that get in the way of people who are receiving the word. People who are winners, they don't allow themselves to be so affected by negativity and by criticism. They may take what's good from it. They may use what they realize is helpful to better themselves, but they're not going to allow that to keep them from their goal, to keep them from what they know they need to be doing in their life. And if there's one thing we know about the world we live in with social media and how people communicate, there's just a lot of negativity. There's a lot of criticism. There's going to be a lot of people who make fun of us for following Jesus. There's going to be a lot of people who make fun of religion in general, and it's just some kind of crutch that you stand on because you don't understand the real world. You don't believe in science or whatever the line is. There's going to be lots of negativity and criticism that if we allow it can be an obstacle, but winners don't let obstacles get in the way. We run over them. And we push through them. And if we're going to run like a winner, as Paul says we need to do, run in such a way that we may win, be like those who win. If we're going to be like that, we have to be people of knowledge, and we have to be people of devotion, and we have to be people of self-control and discipline. One thing that stands out to me, especially when I think about these superior athletes or businessmen who succeed in life, is they just simply don't live like other people. Especially the athlete. You think about some of these Olympians. We have the Olympics coming up next year in the summer, and so we'll hear a lot about this. They eat diets that are nothing like what most people are going to eat. They sacrifice all kinds of things in life. They sleep different. They work different. They think different. They talk different. Everything about their life is different than the loser, I can tell you that. And what Paul is getting at here in this idea in 1 Corinthians 9 about running in such a way that you may win, I believe encapsulates all of that. That we need to be the kind of people, those who are winners, those who are following Jesus, who are okay, we're comfortable with different. That we embody the idea of being different, of being unique. That it doesn't bother us to be different from the world. And in fact, we realize that it is a necessity. It is a must that we are not like the world. And we realize there might be some things we have to give up. Especially over time, as this is a journey, it's a process. that we start out as an infant in Christ, and we begin learning, we read, and we have interaction with other saints, and we begin to grow and mature in our knowledge and understanding of the will of God, and we realize that I've got to get rid of some things in my life. Or we realize there's a lot of things in my life that are a lot like the world that aren't so good. And understanding that I'm going to be a winner, I'm going to be a champion, I'm going to overcome through him who loves us. Some of those things I just have to get rid of. I have to get out of my life. Or I have to reprioritize things in my life to make sure I know what's most important. This is what winners do. This is what Paul's talking about. These people that run these races, they have to reprioritize everything in their life. They have to give up. They have to sacrifice. They have to reevaluate what is most important to them if they really want to reach their full potential. If they really want to be at the pinnacle of whatever they are doing. And they can't be like everybody else. And so it is with us. If we want to be holy, as he is holy, that means there's going to be an evaluation process, a regular one, in which we're going to discover sometimes there's things we have to get rid of. Maybe it's the way that we talk to people, or the way that we think about things, or maybe the way we dress. There's all kinds of ways in which we become like the world if we're not careful. And it says a lot of things about us. And it can hinder our light. And it can be a distraction to ourselves or to others around us who are trying to reach this goal, who are trying to obtain the prize. But those who are winners, they're different. They're controlled. They're disciplined. I like the wording in verse 27. He says, I discipline my body, or I train my body, and I make it my slave. Just think about that for a minute. I've heard this sometimes in reference to financial things when I was going to school. Of course, we talked about this, you control your money so it doesn't control you, or those types of phrases. But Paul's using that idea here with his body. I make my body my slave. I don't let my body control me. I don't let my desires control me. And I tell you, in our world, people in our world are very comfortable with that. You just do what makes you happy. They're very comfortable with the concept of letting our bodies control us, giving in to all of our desires, letting ourselves be satisfied with the sorts of things that we want, rather than what Paul's talking about here, which is make my body a slave to me. My body is going to do the things I tell it to do, and it's going to operate in the way that I tell it to operate. I'm going to train and discipline. I'm going to be different in a very real way in our world, especially. I'm going to think in a very different way in the world. There is a wisdom in the world. James talks about it. And that kind of wisdom actually ultimately leads to every evil thing. It seems wise to the world. The types of decisions that people make, maybe it's lying to move their way up the ladder and get to the top, and how they treat people. Or maybe, if we're still going to use the athletic imagery or metaphor here, maybe they do things that are illegal, like use steroids or some other kind of enhancing drug that they're not supposed to use. There's all kinds of ways that people think it's wise, or there's ways to get to the top or reach the pinnacle that are not the right way. But the true champion, the true winner, isn't like that. They do it through discipline, through control, through training, through being different than the world. This is what we're called to, in fact, as saints, as holy ones. We're called to be holy as he is holy. And if we want to live like a winner, we are going to be people who live with purpose. Paul says as much as he's talking about the way he lives. The preceding text, he's talking about his devotion to the gospel, that he preaches the gospel voluntarily. He's not doing it under compulsion, or else he wouldn't receive the prize. And he's talking about all the various ways that he does that. He becomes a Jew to the Jew, a Gentile to the Gentile, one who's under the law is one under the law, one who's not under law is one who's not under law, speaking of the law of Moses. He's going to do whatever it takes for the sake of the gospel. And it speaks to a lot of the things that we've already talked about before. And what he's getting at here is he's going to live like a champion. He's going to do whatever it takes to progress the gospel. And he's going to be victorious through Jesus Christ. And in connection with that, in verse 26, he says, I run in such a way as not without aim or not without purpose. I box in such a way as not beating the air. This isn't practice for Paul. He's not training to start the fight or start the race. He's already in the middle of it. He's doing this with purpose. But what is our purpose? It's kind of like the first question we asked. How much are we growing? It's an indication of the mindset and the attitude that we have. Do we have a purpose for why we are here or why we are following Jesus Christ? But what is our purpose in all of this? Because Paul says he doesn't do this without aim. He doesn't do it without purpose. He has a purpose in mind for everything he's doing, and he's doing it for the sake of the gospel, for the glory of Jesus, and for the glory of God. And I would suggest to you this morning that what we are doing here is a very purposeful sort of thing. We come to remember the Lord's death and to partake of the supper to proclaim his death until he comes. That's a purpose. We come together as the temple of God, the dwelling place of God and the Spirit, to praise and to honor him. We are coming here with a purpose to glorify God, to worship him, to say he is worthy. He is our creator, and we owe everything to him, and we are devoted to him. There's a purpose for us coming here. It's not just some place to show up at on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday. There's a goal in mind. There's a direction that we're heading, that we're trying to develop this holiness. We're trying to develop a relationship with one another and with God, relationships that are going to last for eternity and have eternal implications. And when we leave these assemblies and we go out into the world, are we living with purpose? Are we living as people who are shining a light, extending the borders of the kingdom to all those who are around us? If we're going to live like winners, if we're going to run the race to obtain the prize, we have to have a purpose in mind for what we're doing. Finally, winners pursue growth. They live like winners in the sense that they dedicate themselves and they sacrifice and they have purpose. But in the midst of all that, winners are pursuing growth. We have to live to grow. And if we're satisfied with just where we are, with complacency, that's the kind of thing that's disappointing. Not just to the Father, but to others around us. If we're not experiencing growth in our life, it ought to be disappointing to us. As much as past victories might mean to Olympians, people like Katie Ledecky, I guarantee you that this summer, when she shows up for these Olympic races, that she's not really going to be thinking a whole lot about 2012. Maybe the good parts of it, because it might get her in the right frame of mind, but she's not going to be dwelling on those victories. What she wants to do is win in 2016. She wants to get better and better so she can continue winning as she goes forward. She's not satisfied with where she was 4 years ago, because that's how champions and winners think. And so those who are the people of God, who are God's chosen people, his special and unique nation, those who are on the narrow road, those who have chosen to follow Jesus Christ, who are victorious through him, they're not going to think that way either. They're pursuing the prize. They're reaching forward to the goal. They're going to pursue holiness. They're going to live life with that motto in mind, be holy for I am holy. And they're not going to be satisfied with where they are now, however near they may be to that goal of being holy. They're going to strive even more for perfection. and as we journey through life, through this process of growth. Those who want to win, those who run in such a way to win, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 9, their goal is to draw nearer to God all along the way, to never slow down, never quit. And to reach for the prize, the imperishable crown. All the gold medals in the world, and championships, and NBA, or NFL, or wherever you can think of, as glorious as they might be now, are worth absolutely nothing compared to what we will receive from the Father at the end of time, when the race is over. And we get to the finish line, and we're standing there before him, and he crowns us with the wreath. That's going to be an unimaginable glory compared to anything we ever see here. And it doesn't matter if you're 12 or 14 or 15 or 80, you can do amazing things in God's kingdom. And you can pursue holiness and growth as one of his children and one of his unique people. Maybe you want to be a part of that this morning. You realize you're not in Christ. You're not part of God's people. And you want to be a champion. You want to be one who overcomes through him. His directions are fairly simple, at least to start out, that we give our life to him, that we're baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. And when we do that, he wipes away our sin. We are pure, we are holy, and we have a relationship with him. And we begin living a new life for him. Maybe you found some bumps along the way. Life is a series of events that are ups and downs. Maybe you're in a down event right now, and you realize things haven't been good. You claim to be a Christian, you claim to be a saint, a holy one, but you realize maybe you haven't been pursuing holiness in the things you're doing in life. We all struggle at times with that. And it could be that you publicly need to make that known, and you need encouragement. You need to be strengthened by your brothers and sisters in Christ. And maybe it is you just need to go home privately and pray to God and begin renewing yourself to him. You have to make that decision. But what I want to encourage you this morning to do is to be a winner and to run like a winner. Whatever it takes, whatever the sacrifice may be, you make it happen. Can we help you? Why don't you come as we stand and we sing together?